Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are discussing the rookie quarterbacks from 2021. And it's Trevor Lawrence, right? It's Lance, it's Fields, it is Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Davis Mills, and then you got, you got Mond, you got Trask as well there. So those are really the, I think the big ones. Are obviously we have some sample on Lawrence. We have some sample on Fields, Wilson as well, Mac Jones, Davis Mills. And then I think largely Lance is an uncertain. And I think any sort of inference that you're going to draw from him over, over a couple of games here, I think it's dubious, at best. I'll say this about Lance. I think Lance is a good place to start in all this, is that I wouldn't necessarily infer a ton from the fact that he didn't play. I hesitate to do this in put this person on the same sentence as Patrick Mahomes. I hate to sort of do that. I think that is, it's always something you got to be cautious of doing. And I don't want it to be misunderstood. But if you sort of look at this as the same situation, veteran established quarterback who had made a deep run, right? Jimmy G all the way to a Super Bowl. You had Alex Smith go to divisional play, deep into playoff games, right? And I think they may have went to a conference final. I know they went to divisional rounds there with him. He was obviously the incumbent when Mahomes was when drafted. So I think they're similar in that way. There was no sense in really rushing them. These teams, you could debate how much of a contender San Francisco was coming into the season, but the teams that had eyes on being contenders, right? This decision was made long-term interest of, going to a really high ceiling type of scenario. Both of those decisions were, both of these decisions, the Mahomes decision for Alex Smith, and I talked about that a little bit in some of the team building stuff in the rebuilding guide, about their decision to actually select Mahomes, varies wildly from something that the Giants did, not selecting anyone to really take the next step after Eli, right? They just sort of settled on Eli in that sort of Alex Smith trajectory, and Kansas City didn't. San Francisco basically chose the Kansas City model, which is like, hey, we're going to shoot for upside here. I think they've done a good job of rehabilitating Jimmy G's value, right? His contract, his trade value, the potential that he could be sought after from a team maybe like the Saints, maybe like the Steelers, even a team like the Texans, right? You sort of look around at teams that could potentially use a quote upgrade a quarterback, or one that might just have a hole for a starter. All of a sudden, and you sort of look at the idea of, hey, you could be in a situation where it's they gave, essentially San Francisco gave up, three firsts to get Trey Lance. Maybe they recoup some of that by trading away Jimmy G, right? And then all of a sudden it's not really three firsts, it's, two firsts or whatever, right? It's something like that, right? They get a good return back from Garoppolo, something like that. And that might be a more tradable contract now, as well, given that it's closer to the end of it, right? You don't necessarily have the big guarantees and all that stuff. That's a lower cap number, all that stuff. Similar to the yesterday's edition where we talked about, with like Carr and Cousins and those sorts of things. Right? There's more than just how good is this player and those types of trades. So I wouldn't necessarily hold the fact that Lance hasn't taken the job from Garoppolo against Lance. I don't think that's and Shanahan had said the whole time through that Garoppolo was the starter. So I wouldn't hold that against Lance. I want to sort of be clear on that. I'd probably treat him very similarly to the way you're treating the other guys. You know, I think you have more about Trevor. You have more questions about Trevor Lawrence than you necessarily do about Trey Lance, right? Because you've seen Trevor Lawrence play and be like, yeah, that didn't go well. You've seen Justin Fields play, and you know there's some good stuff with Justin Fields. There's also some questions, right? You see Zach Wilson play, right? You've seen enough of him, and you could say, hey, like this could be one where he's not very good, right? But it's still early. We still have questions, and I think that's with Lance, I would treat him very similarly to the other guys in terms of cost. I wouldn't dock him much. I would probably dock him a little bit in terms of where he was at. You know, I would have been below where he was at initially, but the idea that basically a guy that had played an exhibition game and then, you know, which was basically in his second year of being a starter, that was one game, then he came out and was what, you know, less than 15 starts or whatever it was in his career at the FCS level, right? The fact that he doesn't come in right away and as a starter, I don't think you should hold that against him. So that would just be the thing that I would say. And I think ultimately if you say with Lance, like, hey, maybe, you know, and he has less warts right now than a guy like Lawrence probably does, you know, and how fair is that? I'm not sure. But I would say, you know, I think Lawrence, you probably take down a peg and maybe you sort of leave Lance where you had his opinion, you know? So that would sort of be my thought on it. Fields, I guess we'll just go with Lawrence, you know, from he was the most expensive, one of the most expensive rookies ever, one of the most expensive non-proven guys ever, depending on how you want to view that. You know, Mayfield went higher to position relative to where he was at. He went higher that second season coming in than Lawrence was going last year relative to the position. You know, Mayfield got to his highest quarterback 4. Lawrence didn't get that high. It's apples to oranges because you're talking about rookie season for Lawrence versus second season for Mayfield. But you sort of get the idea. Non-hit guys, just something I delve into the book a little bit. You look at some of the stuff for Lawrence, like kept clean. Like he was okay. Like, 69.6 PFF grade. Again, that's nothing great. You know, it's not good, but it's not horrible, right? It's 6.7 yards per attempt. That's more touchdowns than interceptions, which is concerning. I think when you think about it, more turnover-worthy plays and big-time throws. Again, that's concerning. He was a disaster when under pressure. All of these rookies were, with the exception of Mac Jones. They were all a disaster under pressure. It was actually not good when blitzed either, right? So those can be different stats and categories. So I think when you sort of look at that, I don't think he has anything where he can really hang his hat on and say, hey, listen, he did this really, really well. When you look, 25% of his attempts were play action passes. He had a good split, but in terms of yards per attempt, but underperform, more interceptions than touchdowns, 5 interceptions to 2 touchdowns. On play action passes, you sort of look at that and you're like, man, that's not great. He got, 9.3% of his passes were dropped, which is high. It took a decent amount of time to throw it, 2.8 seconds. Low pressure to sack ratio, I know that was up earlier in the season, that actually came down. He's one of the best rookies at that. So you could say, okay, that helps. You know, one of the things with him has always been, like, he did a lot of quick stuff. Right. He did a lot of quick passes, right? Quick under 2.5 seconds when he was in college. Extremely high amount of that. And now you sort of think like, okay, how has he developed? Well, he's taking more time to throw now, but you are also seeing he's still able to prevent some sacks, which I think is interesting. And I've always wondered how he's going to sort of develop coming from that system. You hadn't seen a ton of guys that had just come in with these, you know, doing these basically quick one read throws and been good. So he's one that, I still rate the fact that he didn't come in and take an immediate step shouldn't surprise a lot of the work that we had done. So I would say it's an incomplete. Again, I think now is like the perfect time. Like, if people are still willing to pay what you bought them for last season, like, do it. Absolutely. Like, if it's a risk-free bet, take it. Like, take the risk off the table, move it to a different asset. You know, it's not necessarily a bet that I'm probably ever going to make ever again in terms of a quarterback like that. So just, you know, from a strategic perspective, I won't be in on expensive rookie quarterbacks like that. Unless basically, I think the only way that I would really do it, like Kyler Murray is a good example of this, where it wasn't a good class per se. And, you know, there was questions about the elite guys up at the top of the class. And he was basically, you know, one of the only guys I really felt good about, right? So when you feel, you know, when there's a lot of similarity, you know, there was a bunch of different quarterbacks in this last class, for example, you could make different bets. I think that is a good way to be like, all right, let's just do that instead of making the really expensive bet. Different classes warrant different responses, but I think that is a lesson from this Lawrence experience. Mac Jones, best PFF grade in the class so far. You know, studying the book about the lack of rushing for him, it is a capping upside situation. So maybe you're not going to necessarily see a top six season in terms of his upside. Can he perform in the running back or in the quarterback two type range? I think absolutely. You know, is he likely to be the best quarterback in this class? Someone else is more likely to be better than him, right? The field is a better bet than he is. But I do have some. Like, if he was the best quarterback in this class, would it shock me? It wouldn't. Does that mean high level fantasy success? No. But if he sort of was a, you know, looked a little bit like, you know, Derek Carr, for example, something like that, that wouldn't be, I don't think that's out of his range of outcomes. Is he going to look like, you know, Matthew Stafford was maybe in a little bit different of an era when he was doing some of his early stuff early in his career. I think they're different talents, right? But those would sort of be the kind of models for success that you'd be looking for in terms of his positional stuff, in terms of some of maybe the recent comps for him. So, again, does he sort of put himself on that arc? I'm not sure. I mean, he played well down the stretch, right? There's, I think, questions long-term in terms of, you know, some maybe physical limitations that he might have. But I think people always go back to the game up there in Buffalo. But ultimately, I think he's on a successful track. What success looks like for him is probably a lesser. It's probably a maybe lower than a success. Right? What does success look like for Justin Fields? It's probably something greater than for Mac Jones, right? The ultimate upside there. And I think we know that. But I think, you know, for as a successful rookie pick, for sure, right? I've already pivoted off of him. I think it took him in a couple of spots. I've pivoted off of him. I went from him to, like, Devontae Adams. I could have never traded, like, a 110 for Devontae Adams. So I was able to sort of trade him for Devontae Adams. There's a plus in there. I think it was like some non-core pick. But you sort of get the idea. Like, you can use him as an upgrade, as a pivot. I like that. I don't think he's super consequential to lose, right? So if you sort of, you know, if you took him and traded him and then added in a different deal, you know, Matt Ryan or something like that, I don't think, you know, you're going to be terribly far out even if Ryan isn't that good, right? I don't think Mac Jones is a reason to sort of trade a core asset, nor is he a reason to not trade him for a core asset, right? Losing him as a quarterback three isn't the reason to not trade him for a core asset. So those are my thoughts there. Zach Wilson, again, I think you could sort of take a couple of different views on him. Like, he's actually the best PFF grade and in terms of overall quarterback play and passing in the weeks 13 through 17. Range. I know there's a lot of people that are sort of ragging on him before that. But then when you sort of look, like, he had a disappointing final week of the season, again, tough Bills matchup there. He only had two big time throws in that five game span as well. So that's, you know, you could say, hey, this is his best stretch, but there's questions about how good and difference making that stretch actually is would sort of be the other angle to it. Quarterback 41 in points per game, 15.1 expected points per game, 11.1 actual points per game. He underperformed by about 500 yards. So some of that's on him, right? I think a lot of that is on him. Again, I would say, like, I think the way to play this tier is definitely, if there's going to be a big spread between the guys, take the cheap ones. Right? Take the cheap ones. And honestly, like, I don't think anyone's going to be on Zach Wilson as the best, rusher of this class by any means. But in actuality, like, when you look at his rushing grade over at PFF this year, he performed the best rushing grade of any rookie quarterback. Again, you sort of look at these things in small doses. It's not the end all be all of analysis, but you sort of look at that and you could say, okay, there's probably reasons to think that's at least interesting, right? That's, I think, an interesting thing in terms of you look at that. Again, it's not a huge sample, but there's some success there. So again, is he a huge, it's basically 12 carries. Again, it's basically about a carry a game is essentially what he ended up being. And then when you look at some of the other guys, for example, like Lance, he was up at like 4 carries a game, a much worse grade. Davis Mills was at like less than a carry a game. And just by way of reference, you're at a couple carries a game for Justin Fields. So Mac Jones is like a carry and a half a game. So again, it's not a huge sample, but I think it's an interesting, like, you know, he 4 rushing touchdowns. He had that big run that was, the 52-yard, that was a big difference, but he leads the rookie quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns, and actually has the rest of the rookies have 5 and he has 4. So when you look at that, you say, okay, like, that's definitely interesting. So is he going to be Kyler Murray? Is he going to be Lamar Jackson in terms of rushing? No. Is that more likely to be Trey Lance? Sure. But I think Wilson, at least, has shown to this point, has some rushing upside that, there was some size questions with him, some durability questions with him. I think the fact that he actually gets a really good showing in the rushing game as he develops as a passer, it's sort of good to have that in your back pocket. So that would be the thing there. Again, I think any of these guys, is there spread on them? We'll take the cheap one. I think there's enough uncertainty here. They haven't really shown. No one's really stood out enough to say much in terms of being difference makers or it being super consequential in terms of the sample thus far, right? I don't think, I think we're still fading the most expensive guys. We're buying in on the cheaper guys. One name I think is interesting. I don't know if it's, again, you sort of, is it interesting or is it consequential? That's a debate we could have. Listen, right in the middle of these four quarterbacks, right, of Jones, Fields, Lawrence, and Wilson, the qualifiers there. Lance didn't actually qualify for season-long rate stats. But when you sort of look at those 5 guys, Mills, right in the middle in terms of PFF passing grade. He's right in the middle in terms of yards per attempt. He throws 16 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. Again, that's not a great stat. There's only 2 guys of this rookie class that actually performed by throwing more touchdowns than interceptions: Mac Jones, Davis Mills. So how's that going for your predictiveness of draft order predicting performance? When you look at some of his big time throws, again, right in the middle, with better big time throw rate than Trevor Lawrence. You could say, all right, where's the knock? Well, biggest turnover-worthy play ratio of anyone in the class. So that would be the flip side of this. But again, I think there's some interesting aspects to all of these. Has he played his way into potentially getting more, I guess, opportunity? You know, is he a franchise guy? I think probably not is the answer. But I think it's a good example of, you know, as we go forward, as we keep thinking about these guys, you know, I think a lot of people are on Mond, you know, and I think a lot of people were on definitely Kalen Mond as being the best of this class. You know, people aren't Kyle Trask. I think less people aren't Davis Mills. You know, I think taking cheap shots like that, especially in places of uncertainty, that might be a situation to potentially learn from this, right? And so, hey, there's a starter here. It's Tyrod, but listen, like Davis Mills, you know, maybe gets an audition, and heck, maybe he's good. Like the chances are of both of those things happening are pretty low, but you know, hey, maybe there's a pivot spot, you know, in terms of a trade or something like that off of him. I don't know. I think that's a potential thing we can think about here going forward about how we maybe do, you know, searching for the next Davis Mills better in future classes. So we'll continue to hunt for that. You know, so I covered all these guys. You know, I think Kyle Trask is interesting. You know, I think Mond is probably not. I know people want to sort of, you know, blow it a little bit out of proportion with the comments from his coach, Mike Zimmer, in terms of, you know, some of the stuff that he had said, you know, he didn't need to see Mond. Like, that was an indictment to me. Like, yeah, I see him all the time. I don't need to see him on the field. Like, oh, great, that's not good. So, even though if Kirk Cousins, like, leaves, I don't necessarily think it makes Mond anything, you know, like the next guy up or anything like that, especially considering that you have a whole new coaching staff, a whole new front office, being in charge of this decision making. He's just a guy at this point. He's not really insulated or anything like that. So that'd be the other thing I'd say. You know, Trask is interesting. I suspect that Brady's not going to retire, but you know, we would have to watch that. And I don't think he's necessarily long term going to be the guy there in Tampa. But he's just a name that I think is interesting to watch. All right, well, that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.